Welcome, everyone. This is our Fit as a Fiddle Plus. It's all about health and wellness. And I am Kathy Benner. I'm your passive income mentor. But I also am very, very excited about my health journey. I've just recently, in the last 24 months, discovered the amazing benefits of doing intermittent fasting. And I actually, all my numbers are now in line the way they're supposed to be. And Rita is my co-host, my co-mod. I sent my numbers over to her to kind of evaluate me a little bit. And so anyway, I'm still on my health journey, but I am down almost 70 pounds. I fluctuate between like 65 and 70 pounds. And gosh, I have a lot more energy. I'm walking a 5K every day. I've got a big hike coming up. We're close to an area where I live here in Central Ohio called Hocking Hills. And so we also publish a magazine. And in our magazine, my creative editor is also, she works for Columbus Metro Parks, and she also does the hikes. She's like the tour guide. And so I can't wait to get out and hike in the woods with Katie and see where that takes me. So I'll see if I can keep up. But anyway, I'm excited about that. So that's coming up. Anyway, that's about me. I do have an international academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy, and you can find all of my information at kathybenner.com. You see my name there in my little Hollywood square, and I'll put it over in the chat as well. And I'm going to turn it over to Rita for a moment and let her tell you, all of our listeners, what it is that she brings to the table. Rita.
Hey, everybody. Always great to see you, Kathy and Elizabeth. I'm excited to meet you and hear your story. But I am Rita Brewer. I've been a clinically practicing physician assistant for 34 years now, and developed a real passion about 15 years ago for preventative health and wellness. After working in the hospitals for so many years and still do, and surgeries, and seeing all the chronic illnesses that just never don't get better, and learning later on in life that we can actually prevent and reverse so many chronic conditions just with just living a healthy lifestyle. So I got board certified in lifestyle medicine. I do functional medicine, and I'm a diabetes reversal coach. So I have a real passion for metabolic health. So I love helping people reverse their type 2 diabetes, get their blood pressure, cholesterol better, lose the weight that they've been struggling with, and all that great stuff. So that is about me. You can find out anything else about me and connect with me on social media. On just go to my website, ritabrewer.com, and you can get connected with me there. So I'm excited to meet Elizabeth.
Yes, perfect. Rita, put your website in the chat under everyone. Make sure you click the everyone button. And I am going to introduce Elizabeth Meggs. I met her on Facebook. Believe it or not, I am in a group called Need a Guest. And I love to scroll through that group from time to time. And it just jumped out at me. Her name just resonated with, you know, what she was talking about in her little post there. And I was like, she would make a great guest on this podcast. So I sent her a little note in Messenger and said, hey, would you like to be on the podcast? And here we are. So great. Elizabeth, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on board. Elizabeth, she is a number one best-selling author. Now, I have the Ohio Writers Guild, so I might have to have you back on that podcast as well, talking about your writing. But she is a number one best-selling author. She is a miracle power coach, a sought-after keynote speaker. She's born and raised in Southeast Kansas, and her journey of resilience began after a life-altering car accident as a teenager. And what could have been the end of her story became the foundation of her life's mission, HOPE, H-O-P-E, which is an acronym for healing that opens pathways to empowerment. Now, for over 13 years, Elizabeth has empowered women and patients to recover from trauma, abuse, burnout, and setbacks through her signature Roadmap to Resilience framework and her Pathway to Peace Method course. With a unique blend of practical tools, lived wisdom, I can't wait to talk to her about that, and spirit-led coaching, she shows others how to reclaim peace, rise in purpose, and live fully healed. Her voice is one of authenticity and authority, helping people not only overcome life's hardest moments, but thrive on the other side. Oh, Elizabeth, welcome.
That's
your story. Yeah, it
awesome.
Began with a devastating accident in high school. How did that experience ultimately become the foundation of your mission?
Well, at the age of 14, I was chasing my dreams, had been singing and performing for over half my life. I was known for my voice, and everybody knew I was going places. When the car accident happened and I suffered a traumatic brain injury, my world came crashing down around me.
Oh my.
I was left with a 20, less than 25% survival rate, and the doctors and the medical team were preparing my family for my death
Wow.
because it wasn't looking like I would survive.
Now you were only what, 14?
14. It was 1 week into my freshman year of high school when that accident happened.
Oh my goodness, Elizabeth.
So going from popular, everyone wanted to be my friend, always having a boyfriend, beautiful, known for my voice, that honestly, at the age of 7, when people would hear me sing, they would have to do a double take because they couldn't believe that the voice was coming out of a 7-year-old girl. They
Wow.
thought that it was a woman or a young adult performing.
Wow.
Oh my.
So,
So tell us more about that journey. I'm sure you were in the hospital for a very long time, your recovery and all of that.
I was placed in a drug-induced coma because my brain was filling rapidly. I remained in that coma for 3 weeks. It was touch and go the first 24 to 36 hours. Just 24 hours in, a little over, I took a drastic turn for the worse and they almost lost me. That's when my family discovered the power of prayer. Because it was within a prayer that my mom feels a weight lifted off of her shoulders, and she knew in that moment that I was going to survive. And approximately 1 hour later, the doctors were able to find the right medication to get the brain swelling to go back down and get me out of the woods for the most part.
Wow.
When I woke from the coma, I was reduced to that of an infant. Couldn't sit on the edge of the bed for even 30 seconds. Max for everything. I had to relearn how to do everything again.
Oh.
Three full months of hospitals and intensive rehabs before I made it back home for good. By that time, I was no longer using a walker or a wheelchair, but I still fatigued very quickly. Was doing outpatient occupational therapy and physical therapy for every day of the week. And I was essentially judged and rejected because of my physical deficits for years to come. People would see something physically wrong with me and decide that I wasn't worth their time. I was alone because my friends' lives had gone on. They didn't know how to give me what I needed. They didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what I needed. I was devastated. I had no life. I found myself one afternoon when I was home alone after school on my knees crying out to God, asking him why he did this to me. What did I do to deserve this? Beating my fist in the floor, tears streaming down my face. When all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with comfort, love, and peace, and God's voice on my heart said, I have a plan for you. You can't stop. You have to keep going. He gave me everything that I needed in that moment because I was internalizing the judgment and the rejection. When I looked in the mirror, I saw an ugly monster. I hated myself. I knew everything would be better if I was no longer here. But in that moment, everything shifted because it was no longer about me. What broke me more than I was already broken was the thought of someone else suffering even half as much as I was. And I began going to bed praying to God every night, thanking him for my life, thanking him for my blessings, begging him to be the voice of hope on others' hearts, having absolutely no idea that I was going to be the answer to that prayer 12 years later when I graduated with my degree in occupational therapy.
Wow, that is amazing.
What a
Did you
journey.
go straight through? I mean, like, did you must have taken, how much time did you take off from school for the recovery just to be able to get
So,
back into your curriculum again?
Well, I'm very blessed with teachers that most of the teachers worked with me. I was back in school, so it happened 1 week into my freshman year, so August 26th. I was back in school half days after Thanksgiving until Christmas. Then I went back to school full days. Of course, I was from a rural Southeast Kansas town, so my mom and I were making multiple trips to Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri every month for years throughout high school. So I missed a lot of school. But the only class that I had to have made up by the end of my freshman year was algebra. We hired tutors, and my aunt used to be an algebra teacher, and my sister-in-law, her major when she started college was algebra as a teacher. So I had lots of people to help me get caught up with the algebra. And then the other classes,
That was no accident. God planned
Exactly. Yeah,
that
no, God
too.
had everything
Yeah.
planned. That other classes, teachers allowed my mom to give me the tests over the summer. I was caught back up with my class by the beginning of my sophomore year.
Well, you know what? That speaks volumes on who you are right there. I mean, as a 14-year-old girl, for you to push through and to have that resilience at that age.
Even want to go
Well,
back to school, especially when people treated you the way they did, right?
well, and so at school, I'm from a very rural school. They didn't treat me bad at school. That I just was alone. It was more of the people who didn't know of the accident. It was the strangers, the looks, the all of that. That's where the judgment and the rejection came from, not from people that knew me before the accident. It was those that didn't know me and decide I wasn't worth their time because they saw my physical deficits.
Oh, how sad to go through that. But yet, you know, your story made me think back through when I was in high school, and we had a couple of catastrophes, you know, car accidents. One little fella in our school was a hard worker. He was working at a filling station, and he was scrubbing the oil off of the floor in the bay where they worked on cars, and it ignited, and it burned him. And as students, I think what I remember most was we didn't know what we didn't know at that age. And we didn't know how to come alongside him. We felt awkward, so we kind of stayed away from him. And looking back, that just hurts my heart because I'm like, oh, I wish there would have been. And I think now when you hear of things in the schools, they do bring in counselors to help the students know how to navigate when somebody has had a catastrophe like that. And they didn't do that back when I was in school. So that's always kind of weighed on me that, you know, I should have known, but then, you know, logically, I couldn't at 14 know how to handle another student that's going through those kind of tragedy. But yet you're the one that's going through it, and you've got your hands full trying to figure it out yourself.
Right. Now, when I graduated high school, things got easier. I wasn't judged as much. My physical deficits, my left side, the muscle tone and everything had gotten better, so I wasn't judged as much, but I still didn't fit in. Community college and then university, I would find some friends, but I still didn't really fit in. It wasn't until I graduated with my degree in occupational therapy when I stepped into my first patient's room who had suffered a stroke and they were hopeless, they were discouraged. The fact that I could sit across from them and share with them my story, that gave them hope. That's when I realized, okay, God, I'm the answer to that prayer that I prayed for 12 years, over 4,300 times religiously every night. Please be the voice of hope on others' hearts. And I've been called an angel. I've been called a light. I've been called the heart of Jesus so many times over the last 13 years because that's where I was created to be. And I just have that gift to be able to walk along somebody who doesn't believe in themselves and let them know that I believe in them and I know they can do it. It's not going to be easy, but that's why I'm there with them to be able to support them and help give them a leg up to show them how.
And you, that is so inspirational. I mean, you were simply born for a time like this.
And the fact is, I didn't even realize what I was doing when I was doing it. It wasn't until years later when God freed me from another area of my life that wasn't meant for me. And that's when he brought me the clarity. He said there were strategies you developed after your car accident. Had you not developed those strategies, you would not have survived your toxic marriage. You're supposed to teach these to others.
Well, let's talk about some of those. Can you share what your roadmap to resilience framework is, and how does that help people to move forward? Because you've developed all of these coaching tools. And so, first of all, how did you come to develop that? And then how does it help?
So it actually wasn't me. It was
Okay.
God working in me and working through me and just renewing me so that I could become who he needed me to be able to teach these. Because all of the stuff that I teach is based on biblical truth, neuroscience backed. Science is finally catching up with what the Bible has told us all along, and I'm living, breathing proof of all of God's promises. You guys were talking at the beginning about healing physically. My Pathway to Peace method, it helps to cut down on that inflammation. It's not using anything, but being able to help you learn how to reframe and shift that mindset. Because we were created, equipped to be able to heal naturally ourselves using things from the earth.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
So,
and you're just basically reframing our last, what, 10 podcast on Fit as a Fiddle Plus, because we talk about this all the time. So yes. So tell us how you developed the Pathway to Peace and your roadmap to resilience, how you developed that, and then give us some examples on how that works with your patients.
With the Pathway to Peace method, I was in a toxic marriage where I was never valued, always told that the dreams on my heart would never come true. I remained in that marriage for 2.5 years, but God had brought people into my life before then who believed in me, saw my heart, and encouraged me. So that I could fully step into with confidence who he created me to me created me to be. I knew my purpose and nothing was going to stand in my way because it was the only thing that lit my soul on fire. So within the marriage, I was being broken down, but I was being aligned with those people who did see my value that would lift me up. When I was being broken down at home until God freed me. God told me the Monday before Easter Sunday, 2023, that if I was going to stay in that marriage, I would not fulfill his will, that I needed to leave. So my roadmap to resilience came about because he freed me early in the morning on Easter Sunday. After I was freed, about a month after, God brought me clarity on the exact strategies that I had developed. As I began writing them down, I realized that science now backs how they help with mental health, anxiety, and depression. So I created my Pathway to Peace method. Every night, no matter what had happened during the day, I may have wanted to end my life 3 hours earlier. Every night I went to bed with a thankful heart because God, that was the only way I was going to get any rest at night, was going to God, going to the source, and thanking Him for my life, thanking Him for my blessings. That's a choice. When he told me, "You can't stop, I have a plan for you," he was reaching his hand down and he was calling me to rise. That is the first R in my roadmap to resilience. My second R is reframe. learning how to shift that negative from a positive, it wasn't easy early on in high school. Because it was a roller coaster. It was a vicious cycle that played out multiple times a day, weekly, for nearly 4 years. Over time, they became less and less, and I found the things that I was passionate about. As I was continuing to find the strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other, rising, reframing, I began to reflect. The third R, seeing that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Rediscover is my fourth R. What got me through high school? Now, it was 43 days before I spoke a whisper after
Oh
coming out of
my.
my coma. And it was another 8 to 10 months before I could speak in full sentences without my voice breaking out. When I made it back home, it was in the spring of 2001. My voice teacher, who I had been taking voice lessons from for more than 7 years, who had actually arranged for me to be in a recording studio 6 months prior to that car accident happening, called my mom and said, "I know I'm not giving voice lessons anymore, but I want to work with Beth in order to get her voice back, get her singing again. Now she's gifted, she's passionate about it now." So I did get back up on the stage. My neck muscles were affected, so my belted out soprano was gone. My natural vibrato was gone. It wasn't as effortless as it once was, but when I was on a stage singing, that was the only time throughout high school I felt any sense of belonging. That was the only time throughout high school that I wasn't being judged and rejected because people saw my gift. So rediscovering those passions, those dreams, they're not a mistake. They're placed on your heart for a purpose, for a reason. Now, over time, they're probably gonna shift. Used to be singing for me. I'm still using my voice. I'm still getting up on the stage. I'm still connecting with an audience, just in a lot bigger way and doing a lot more than just bringing them joy and making them smile with my singing voice. This time, I'm giving them a roadmap to resilience, a roadmap to righteousness, being able to help them to find the strength to keep going so that they can find that peace and that freedom that they were created to live.
Now you've talked about thriving instead of just surviving. What does that look like for survivors of abuse or any kind of trauma like what you've gone through? What does that look like?
So thriving instead of surviving, it starts out as a choice.
Ah, good point.
It starts, life is choice. It starts out as a choice. You have to choose to rise. You have to choose to get up in the morning, even if you don't feel like it. I struggled with that early. But now, as you keep going, you're gonna gain that confidence. You're gonna continue as you keep stepping out. You're gonna gain more clarity. You're gonna become braver. You're gonna have more courage. And as you continue doing that, you're gonna get closer and closer to that person that you were created to be. It's all about discovering truth, the truth of your why you were created. When you discover that, that's when you become unstoppable because I realize now, the challenges that I face, those challenges weren't meant to stop me. They're meant to build me into who I'm created to be because we were all created equipped to face and overcome any challenge that we face. It's the challenges that make the victory so much sweeter once you finally break through.
Girl, put your Cash App down in there. It's like pass the bucket or something, because this girl's preaching right here.
I've been told that
Yes, that is so exciting.
in
Now, for someone who's in the very early stages of healing, what's the first step that they can take toward reclaiming their peace? What is the very first step? What do you recommend?
Learning how to find those small joys. Focus on those small joys because in the beginning, they're going to be few and far between. It's going to be hard to pick out those small little joys that bring you peace and make you happy. They're going to be few and far between. But once you start learning how to identify those, and you're going to start seeing more and more of them because what you focus on grows. When you're always looking at the negative, that's all you're ever going to see.
The
But
gratitude practice.
yes, very much.
Now I've noticed that you actually balance your faith-led coaching along with practical strategies. Have you had any pushback on that from any of your clients?
No, I see that the reason I faced all of these challenges in my lifetime, everything that I faced, to be honest with you, the Apostle Paul teaches in the Bible. The strategies that I have developed, I developed them so that I can teach them practically in the world today and make it easier. Because when you go back and you read a Bible, I mean, sure, it's truth and people gain insight and stuff, but it's not for everybody. If they can find someone like me who can help them in the world today, in the world that we live in today, to be able to pick those out and see those, that's gonna help them to persevere and keep going.
Now, did you have a strong faith-based background growing up as a child, or did this come later on after you were in your recovery stage?
So I went to church every Sunday. I did eighth grade confirmation 5 to 6 months prior to the car accident. I did not know scripture, have it memorized like I do now. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. That is my verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will not allow you to be tested beyond your means, but with your testing, he will provide a way out. Those are two verses that I can point to, and I have so many stories to give you proof. But that's just a fraction of the verses that, honestly, when I got out of my marriage, every Sunday, I would leave telling myself, I'm living proof of that sermon and those scriptures. I'm living proof of that sermon and those scriptures. I'm living proof of that. And I mean, okay, God, honestly, though, when God gives you a vision, when I was that 14-year-old girl, I knew it was going to be big. I had no idea how big it was going to be. And he floods me with vision and what I'm supposed to do. And I'm kind of like, okay, please slow down because I can only take it one piece at a time and you're kind of overwhelming me. So I'm just so very blessed that, again, alignment. He is bringing people that teach me lessons that now he's calling me to teach others about. And he's bringing people into my life that can help me to get where he's leading me to be, where he has been leading me for the last 2.5 decades.
Well, you mentioned that sometimes burnout often shows up alongside the trauma, and I know you went through a lot of that in your recovery of just pushing through. I can only imagine. I mean, it just speaks volumes on who you are that you pushed through all of that at such a young age with the car accident. But there has to come a time in whatever trials come our way and whatever we're trying to overcome or accomplish, you just get tired and you're like, am I ever going to see, any success in this? Am I ever going to get to the end of this? Am I ever going to turn the corner?
Where's
And
my
so,
overflow blessing?
how do you address that before, we tell ourselves all the wrong stories and we go into a spiral over burnout or getting just discouraged? How do you address that within your coaching?
Learning to let go. I have struggled with it. Learning to let go, because I've seen burnout in much more than just my car accident recovery and in my marriage. I've been in toxic workplaces at a hospital. I have been let go from a job. But I want to share a story here to give a little bit of hope. So in 2016, I was working on a subacute rehab unit, and it was a subacute in-house rehab unit in a skilled nursing facility. They decided to sell our therapy company to a contract company. I had the opportunity to transfer to the hospital, but I chose to stay with the contract company because it meant more money. I was a single woman. When they sold us to the contract company, it became all about the money, not about the patients. I was burnt out. I was stressed. Living in chaos and confusion, I hated my job for the most part. Every now and then, I would have a great patient, but I wasn't strictly working on the subacute rehab anymore. I was working in the skilled nursing facility where I'm not able to give my best to them. They aren't working to get back home. So, after 1 year of working there, I was okay, enough is enough. I was let go. I was shocked. I cried when I was told, but I left the building that day and I thought to myself, you know, I wasn't happy there anyway. I qualified for unemployment. I had offered a room to a friend who needed to get back on her feet 6 months prior. So while I was in unemployment, not making as much, she was able to pitch in a little bit of rent, enough to get by. 30 to 45 days after I lost that job, guess what? An opportunity opened at the hospital that I had a choice to transfer to 1 year prior. I was hired on the spot. I thought I was going in for an interview. I go in for the interview and everyone's asking me when I'm starting. I'm like, oh, I already have the job? Okay. So God had me. Even if you make wrong choices, don't let the regrets hold you back. Learn to let go,
Amen.
because you can't receive better unless you let go of that not so good. You have to have your hands empty so that you can receive the better. So let go of the bad.
Amen.
It's learning how to embrace the mystery and the journey of life. It's hard because we want to know. Trust me. God, why did you do this to me? What did I do to deserve this? But it's the mystery. And if I could go back and change any part of my life, I wouldn't, because the reward that he's brought to me, that is so much greater than anything that this world has to offer. This world has nothing to offer. But his reward is the greatest of all. So when you can embrace that mystery and learn to partner with the Holy Living Spirit within you and keep walking, putting one foot in front of the other, that's when you're going to become unstoppable. That's when you are going to find peace and freedom that you've always dreamed of.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
You got to walk by faith and not by sight,
It's like,
right? And that's happened so many times in my life too. And the more I used to get so upset about things like that, if it was my plan and it didn't go my way, and I was like, what happened? What's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with them? And why is it not happening? And now I know that, just like, okay, if it doesn't work out, then God's got something else for me.
It's
So I'm
your
not,
plan. That's the key. It was your plan.
right? Not his plan. His ways are not our ways, right? Oh, so good.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Elizabeth, you are such an inspiration. Thank you so much for being on today. What final words of encouragement would you like to offer our listeners who feel stuck, or maybe they feel like they're just in survival mode and they want to move on into thriving? What would be your words of encouragement for them?
So I learned the power of belief. Not just walking by faith belief, but the power of belief and having people who believe in you. I want you to know that if you don't have anyone like that in your life, I'm right here. I believe in you, and I know that you were created to do whatever is on your heart. If it's good and just and biblically aligns with the Bible, you were created to make it happen, and you have everything within you to do it. It just putting one foot in front of the other. The foundation that I built in high school through my strategies of the Pathway to Peace method and the Roadmap to Resilience is faith, hope, and love. That is the foundation of Jesus Christ that I stand on today. And I am so blessed to be able to help others to find that same freedom, healing, and purpose that they once thought was unattainable.
That's awesome. And I'm sure all of this that we talked about is in your book. So tell us the name of your book and how can people find it?
So I am actually in three anthologies, two more out this fall. My solo book will be released next spring, and
Okay.
it will be The Golden Ticket to Unlocking Your Miracle Power, a survival guide to breaking free, rising higher, living anchored in faith, hope, and love. So
Awesome.
visit ElizabethInspires.com. I'm going to have a page up soon. Join my newsletter if you want to know about my book and when it will be out or
Sure.
any of my speaking engagements. Please like, follow, reach out to me if there's anything I can do to help you.
That's awesome.
Oh,
Well, where are
Elizabeth,
you
thank you.
lo Sorry, where are you located now?
I am in Waco, Texas.
Okay. All right. And do you travel all around for speaking engagements or?
So this week I'll be up in Dallas at the Experience for Women in Leadership speaking, doing a Roadmap to Resilience, God's Blueprint for Your Breakthrough. And then I'm going to be in Kansas in October, and then I've got another event in Waco in November. And then I've got a couple other events here in Waco that are kind of to be determined of exactly when.
Right.
That is so fun. So you're getting booked, your message is getting out there. We want to help you also get your message out there. I did put in the chat for everyone your website, elizabethinspires.com.
Thank
So
you.
folks, visit the website, find out when her books are going to be published, when they're out there, and how to get those. You said you're going to be adding a page with all of your publications.
So I've already got a book page.
Okay.
I have an ebook called The Burnout Cure. You can buy that and
Okay.
download it now. That it kind of goes over my roadmap to resilience with some
Okay.
small things. I'm not the full big version. It's only a fraction of everything. And then I was just recently told that I can do an Amazon authors page where I have all of my publications. I have two more anthologies that will be out this fall. I think one next month, and I'm not sure when the
Okay.
other will be released. The Women Who Lead is on my website, so you can order that and I can get it shipped to you. And then the Golden Ticket will be out next spring.
Perfect. I love it. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us today. As our gift to you, we are going to include you in our speakers cabinet. So hopefully that is
Awesome.
what that's our way to try to contribute to your message, to help get your message out there for more folks to find you when they need a speaker.
Thank you so very much. Oh, it was such a blessing. Thank you. Such a blessing to be on this podcast. Thank you so much.
Well, such a pleasure to
Elizabeth.
meet you, Elizabeth.
Yes,
Nice to
thank
meet you.
you. Any last words, Rita?
No, I'm just feeling all warm and fuzzy because I enjoyed the messaging and it inspired me to, knowing what I already know, but just that we always need that reminder, right? We got to keep renewing our mind daily, what the word says, right? So can never hear it enough, right? There's so much negativity in the world right now. Like we just need so much positivity every single day and sharing it with everybody, because the whole everybody needs it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And we will be talking to you soon. For everyone else that's listening, you can tap into a podcast every Monday at 12 noon and every third Monday at 4. We are here with the Fit as a Fiddle Plus. So we'll see everyone next time.
Take
Bye,
care.
everyone.
Bye.